Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Glad you joined us this morning. Start of a beautiful day here in the greater St. Louis area. Already in the 70s out there in a lot of locations. Maybe in the high 60s. Going to be one of those pack your lunch and eat outside if you can kind of days. I might go to the zoo today. I think I will. Going to do that a little later. Take the grandkids out there, kind of hang out a little bit. And blow the stink off. How about that?
That sounds like a good day. I'm sure the zoo's going to be packed.
Oh, probably. That'll be the worst part of it. But, you know, we'll make it work. A lot of people are working today. So those of us who get up at 3 in the morning have a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, but you think that until I go out and run errands at a normal time and I'm thinking, I know why I'm here right now. What do all of you work? Like, what are you doing? Do you work overnight shifts? Are you a nurse and you work 3 days a week because you work crazy long shifts?
Yes.
I always wonder.
Could be.
How are you all here?
I know. It's always packed out there on a gorgeous day. Listen, we got lots to get to today. I want to remind you, tomorrow night is our Bourbon Spring Fling. There are tickets available, I am told. They are $35, which is a bargain basement price to get to hang out with us, sample some many different kinds of bourbon. That'll be there. Many different brands, including Four Roses and New Riff and Oak and Eden and all that great stuff. There'll be wine. There'll be appetizers. We're just going to hang out for a couple hours. And it's over at the Clayton Wine House. Plenty of parking. There'll be some raffle. Everybody who gets in is going to get a raffle ticket. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hope you can make it. 971talk.com is how you can get more information on the tickets. Coming up, we got David Gregory, who's going to talk about this senior tax break that has not happened yet in St. Louis County, by the way. And we'll talk to Jake Novak, who used to work at the consulate for Israel, about what happens next with Iran and U.S. interference in the day-to-day running of the state of Israel. It's crazy. We'll get to Jake at the bottom of the hour. Right now, let's get to the shortlist.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
My grandfather would tell me when I walked out the door in North Washington Avenue in Scranton.
The brain is sometimes on and sometimes not there for the leader of the free world these days, Joe Biden, yesterday.
So I came back as soon as I found out that, in fact, I had not sold all individuals.
Wait. No, that's not true either. Let's just look at the timeline. Let's not. I just remind you, you're under oath.
Yeah, that's the energy secretary, Jennifer Granholm, former governor of Michigan, who just didn't remember that she owned a bunch of individual stocks when she was point blank asked that question. And Josh Hawley called her out for lying to his committee.
I am not resigning, and it is, in my view, an absurd notion that someone would bring a vacate motion when we are simply here trying to do our jobs.
Yep, Speaker Johnson is not resigning, and in fact, may need Democrats to save his job.
Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
If the Democrats and the very woke progressive DOJ has its way, the answer to that, Justice Gorsuch, would be yes. That's sad. This unfolded in Washington, D.C. yesterday. You've long heard me rant about J6 and the big lie that they tell about what happened that day. But what they have done in the preceding 3 years to the people who were there and conducted no violence that day, it is going to go down in history as one of the saddest examples of persecution in the history of this country. It will. So you have to understand what the DOJ did here. They decided at some point that they are going to find whatever law they had to penalize whoever was there to the greatest extent that they could. And when they looked at it, they realized that simple trespassing would not get them the kind of jail time punishment they wanted for people who dared to question the outcome of the 2020 election. It just wasn't good enough to simply charge somebody with trespassing for walking into the building that day, right? For people that did nothing other than walk into the building, stay 20 seconds, and walk out, they got charged with obstruction of an official proceeding in Congress. It had never been used before in this fashion in the history of the United States, but it's being used here because it carries up to 20 years in prison. Over 350 people have been charged with this regarding January 6th. Do you understand that? 350 people, including Donald Trump, have been charged with this ridiculous misinterpretation of this law. And yesterday, for the first time, the Supreme Court heard the arguments. Listen to Neil Gorsuch ask why this same law hasn't been used in other situations for people disrupting things inside the Capitol building. Cut 7.
If I might. So what does that mean for the breadth of this statute? Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify, or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
There are multiple elements of the statute that I think might not be satisfied by those hypotheticals, and it relates to the point I was going to make to the Chief Justice about the breadth of this statute.
Yeah, there are multiple hypotheticals about this question. That is Elizabeth Prelogar. She's the U.S. Solicitor General having to try to defend this abuse of the court system in this country. It's embarrassing. This law was passed by Congress to prevent people at Enron from shredding documents before their trial started. Not about what happened on January 6th at all. And they're using it because it carries a 20-year jail sentence, and they can punish people worse if they can just convict them of this silly obstruction charge. Listen to Clarence Thomas. Cut 8, please.
There have been many violent protests that have interfered with proceedings. Has the government applied this provision to other protests in the past, and has this been the government's position throughout the lifespan of the statute?
It has certainly been the government's position since the enactment of 1512C2 that it covers the myriad forms of obstructing an official proceeding and that it's not limited to some kind of evidence impairment gloss.
Have you enforced it in that manner?
We have enforced it in a variety of prosecutions that don't focus on evidence tampering. Now, I can't give you an example of enforcing it in a situation where people have violently stormed a building in order to prevent an official proceeding.
Yeah, but not all of them violently stormed the building. And that's, again, part of the big lie. So if this is any indication, this use of obstruction is going to get tossed out. And it's an embarrassing admission that the federal government tried to do this to citizens of this country. No doubt about it. All right, we'll get to a break here. David Gregory coming up. He's running for Senate in Missouri. In the meantime, he's also suing Sam Page. We'll get his take on that straight ahead.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples.
Yeah, you know, for some people, that's an uncomfortable soundbite. I know specifically Denise Schaefer used to hate it when I played it all the time. But it's true. You cannot get away from the fact that what Nick Offerman said there is absolutely true, or Ron Swanson, whatever you want to call him. And Sam Page is a glaring example of that, because he wants a $600 million Taj Mahal county building built, right? Because nothing's too good for Sam, since he's spending your tax dollars. And he's also holding hostage this senior property tax freeze, because the way Democrats look at property tax freezes is it's going to prevent them from getting their hands on more of your money moving forward. And that makes them nervous. That's why they put a sunset provision on it in St. Louis County, so they can decide in 5 years if they still want to give up the ability to take that money out of the pockets of seniors. It's an embarrassment is what it is, but it's going on. And that's what you get in a purple county these days called St. Louis County. Let me get to David Gregory. He's running for Senate seat number 15. And David, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on this morning, my friend. Tell me why you decided to file suit against Sam Page over this.
Yeah, that's right. I'm suing Sam Page. So here's the deal. I think a lot of folks know that we have a senior tax credit program based on the freeze, right? We're trying to freeze the seniors' property taxes. We're not giving them anything, right? All we're doing is stopping them from bleeding more every year, right? They're not asking for much here. This needs to happen. And unfortunately, our county council has just been fumbling the ball and screwing this whole thing up. And then, of course, Sam Page is not our friend in this. So right now, I've got a senior, and I've got this trove of seniors looking to add into a class action against Sam Page and the county for not implementing this program, right? They passed it by law. Yeah. They said last October, 6 months ago, here's a legal right that we're going to give seniors. And then they have provided no mechanism by which we can pursue our right. That's illegal. So I filed a lawsuit against Sam Page and the county, forcing them to do their job.
And I know last night the county council voted on a bill that would essentially allow them to spend $300,000 to get the program started. But they're saying, yeah, this is really only going to cover the first year worth of costs associated with it. What's your thought on that? Is that really anything to be excited about? Do we think this is actually going to move forward now?
The county council was a real disappointment last night. I watched. I was there. I was so disappointed in our county council. We have two Republicans, Hancock and Harder, that are teaming up with Shalonda Webb, okay, the Democrat leader of the board, the Democrat that voted against this program. Now they're teaming up with her to say, we're not going to give you the money you need to actually implement it. We're going to play little games with you and sprinkle you with just a little bit of money. And we're going to wait 6 months to even do that. That's what happened last night. And I'll tell you what, that is devastating for our seniors, but I'm not giving up. My lawsuit's not giving up. We boxed Sam Page in. Sam Page's only response to my lawsuit, the only one, is give me the money, I'll do it. He can't say it's not a good lawsuit. He can't say he's not going to win, because he isn't. But I'll tell you what, with the county council fumbling the ball the way they are, they're going to have the blood on their hands.
So, I mean, I know Harder's your opponent in the Senate race. Is it that they're delaying paying for it? I mean, why in the world? This is dumb to me. Why in the world does it cost $300,000 to implement a program which allows people to freeze their property tax? You should just have to fill out a form and turn it in. And if you're 65 and you can prove you're a senior and a homeowner, your property taxes shouldn't go up anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what. The difficulty here is that we can speculate all we want, right? We can say it should cost a penny to go through hundreds of thousands of verification processes. Did you really own your home this year? How much of the home did you own? Was it jointly owned? We got to go back and say who paid the actual tax credit. There's a lot of hoops that you've got to go through to verify. We've got a means test, which is another failure on our council part, that says you can only have a home that's $550,000. Another verification system. But here's what we know, folks. Every expert, our own Department of Revenue, Tony Smee, who's a Republican from Cape, he came in and said it's going to cost way more than $300,000. The county council's heard from St. Charles County collector. She came in, testified to the council, this is going to cost way more than $300,000. It's already cost me more than $300,000. And I'm a third of the size with no verification. So, guys, this is a real disappointment. What the county council is doing is a real disappointment.
Well, I tell you what, Gregory from Missouri.com is the website. David Gregory, we appreciate your time. Keep us updated on the lawsuit.
Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you soon. I agree that the way this thing was handled, I know they had to compromise to get it through, but the cap on the value of your home, I don't care if you're a senior. Why would you penalize? I mean, people that bought a $200,000 house 20 years ago, it's probably worth $600,000 today.
Yep.
But they're going to be penalized and won't qualify for this because they put a $500,000 cap on it.
That's a good point. And I think the other thing, too, is this has been 6 months delayed and they're finally saying, OK, we're going to at least move forward with it. But the $300,000 that they're talking about supposedly is to hire more staff and get equipment for the Department of Revenue for people to be able to apply to get the freeze. It's so odd.
Everything about government costs more of your tax dollars. It does.
Use tax dollars to save tax dollars. Perfect sense.
Thank you. We're trying to save money here. But it's going to cost us $500,000 to do it. Interesting. Yeah, there you go. All right. Coming up, Jake Novak, former director at the Israeli consulate in New York, talking about what's going on and what's likely to happen next with Iran. We'll be right back.
John, has President Biden considered maybe beefing up the public Iran posture to be more than just one word?
You're referring to don't.
Yeah,
and so let's talk about,
and they did it anyway.
And let's talk about what we did, Peter. Let's talk about don't and did. Let's talk about Saturday night. He made it clear that he didn't want to see escalation in the region.
And
let me finish. He added military resources to the region right after October 7th. And then when we had an inkling that this kind of thing was coming, he added even more military resources to the region. More destroyers that were capable of shooting down ballistic missiles, a fighter squadron that was able to shoot down drones. And that's what we did.
But they did it anyway, Mr. Kirby, Admiral Kirby. I have to say, what do you do with this Biden response that's now kind of backstabbing Israel, in my opinion? And it's my show, so that's what I'm here for. Hey, let's get to Jake Novak, my guest, Middle East expert, former media director at the Israeli consulate up in New York. Jake, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. What's your reaction to the don't policy of the United States these days?
Well, it's just insane. I mean, you know, all those things that you're talking about. One of the things that I think your listeners and all the people across the country are concerned about, even if they support Israel a lot, is are we getting ourselves into World War III by having to bring all those assets that John Kirby talked about, things like that? And it's just maddening because we wouldn't have to be doing any of this if the Biden administration foreign policy team and the Obama foreign policy team before them, which is the same team, by the way, hadn't turned over hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars to Iran, which they knew would be used to fight wars and do terrorism and weapons and all those kinds of things. Because that's all that this Iranian regime does. They don't really produce anything else. The oil that they produce is just to pay for the weapons. So it's almost like it's the most ridiculous thing. It's like putting, you know, a tiger in someone's hotel room and saying, don't worry, we'll send up a lion to take care of it. It's insane. It's just insane. And how disappointing is it that John Kirby, who was basically one of the only spokespeople for this administration who you could stomach listening to the last few months, has now become full-on gaslighting jerk as well. So disappointing.
We do know that Israel will retaliate, right? But we don't know what that would look like. What are you thinking that could pan out to be?
I think that there's a short term and a long term answer to that question. I think the short-term answer is I think Israel's doing a little bit of a head fake with the Iranians right now. They, in the last few days, have taken out some very, very top Hezbollah commanders up in Lebanon and Syria. This has been very good news for the folks who live up in the north of Israel. They just got one the other day. Sadly, there was a civilian building in the north of Israel that got a direct hit this morning. Six people were injured. And by the way, every time that happens, that's a war crime, a deliberate targeting of a civilian target, which is what, you know, Hezbollah and these terrorist groups do and the Iranians do. So I think in the short run, they might be getting Iran to be focusing more on their own homeland and leaving some of these proxy leaders a little bit more vulnerable. But yes, they will hit an Iranian target in Iran one way or another in the coming days. I would love to see this opportunity taken to try to very much continue to disable Iran's nuclear program, which could be done in many ways that don't involve any collateral damage to civilians. There could be a cyber attack. There could be an individual scientist who suddenly disappears, you know, some of these weapons masters. And one of my favorite tactics of all time, you know, missile launchers and stuff like that don't work ever again if they get flooded with water. Maybe there'll be a little bit of a flood there, you know, things like that. Those are the kinds of things that I think we'll see, which involve, by the way, no collateral damage, no damage to civilian areas or cities or things like that. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah. Jake Novak is our guest. And Jake, I had this conversation with a Middle East expert the other day. Iran warned people that they were going to attack, which gave them plenty of time to react to it. My guess is when Israel decides to do this, they're not giving him a heads up.
No, they're not. And by the way, part of that is, now that's, of course, mostly good strategy.
Yeah,
but, and,
yeah.
And good military strategy. You know, read a little bit of Sun Tzu. Obviously, you'll get, you know, the art of war. But sadly, there's another aspect of this that I want to point out, which is that the Israelis have learned since the Obama administration that they can't be as open with the U.S. and the military in the U.S. as they'd like to be, because there are moles. You know, folks, I mentioned in my first answer the hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars that have been transferred over to Iran from the Obama and Biden teams over the years. Are we supposed to believe that the people who facilitated that massive transfer didn't get a cut of it? There are people loyal to Iran in this administration, in the State Department from well before this administration, and they can't be trusted with that information. So it's very sad, because you'd like to see Israel and the United States coordinate as much as possible. Israel's military future and past and present rely on support from the United States. There's no denying that. Isn't it sad that there are people in this administration who will sell Israel out at a moment's notice, probably for money and also because they hate Israel? I mean, there's a combination of those two things going on, and it's just disappointing.
And surely it's not good for the United States when our president, the only thing he's saying to Iran is don't. I mean, we have to up our game here.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Joe Biden's weakness is something that's an issue more beyond the Middle East. I can tell you in Asia as well, my diplomatic colleagues, my former diplomatic colleagues in Asia, the entire world is scrambling to figure out how they can move forward without a president who has any kind of a strong message, who doesn't seem to be at home, and whose entire presidency seems to be being run by the DNC, which doesn't have much of a foreign policy agenda.
Yeah.
You know, so it's pretty scary. And there's no and they can't bank on what's going to happen in November. I mean, they there's no way they can do that. So there's a lot of flailing all over the you put your finger really right on it there, Kim. There is so much confusion about what's going on. And the only time I can remember this being in my lifetime similar to this, and I was just a little kid, was when Jimmy Carter was president. There was also a similar what the heck is this guy doing? What's his plan? Type of response from the rest of the world.
Yeah, we've seen that failure again and again when it comes to weakness shown to some of these foreign leaders. Jake Novak, we appreciate your insight this morning. Thank you.
Have a great day, everybody.
Yeah, you too. Thank you for that. Yeah. Listen to the rest of this interaction between Kirby and Ducey. Listen.
So you can talk about the don't word all you want, but let's talk about what did happen. And what did happen was Iran utterly failed. And if I'm sitting in Tehran right now, I'm betting that President Biden takes it pretty seriously when he says, don't escalate. He's going to act to make sure that you can. And they didn't. Yes, they fired an unprecedented amount of munitions. But how much of a success did they have, Peter? None. Zero. Very little infrastructure. It was an embarrassing failure for the Supreme Leader and for the IRGC.
Yeah. You got to give Kirby a little bit of credit for the spin he put on that one. I mean, the president said don't, but they did it anyway, and it was a miserable failure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they completely ignored the don't part of it, and then they warned you it was coming, so they had to know they were going to shoot down at least most of the missiles.
Yeah.
Right?
Still, why did they give, 48 hours notice?
Because they just did it for their own people as a show of strength. And the people in Iran probably think Israel got devastated by that round of missiles, when it's not true.
But you don't think that by now they've seen that 99% of those missiles were shot down? You really think that they have not a clue?
There may be a few people, but they have
shut.
That's like North Korea. They've shut down media and everything in Iran.
Social media. Like, nothing gets past us these days because it's on social media right away.
They have media controls like the Biden administration would like to have.
You who hate America, go to Iran. It sounds lovely.
Yes, it does. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Ken Belkin. He's an attorney. Remember all the promises when they were going to legalize pot about all the problems it was going to fix? Not exactly what's going on in a lot of these big states, including California. We'll check in with him coming up about 8:20. Stay tuned. Nothing like stirring up a hornet's nest, Kim St. Ange. So when I went on the... I guess it was Twitter feed of some representative who I didn't even realize at the time he's running for like Secretary of State in Iowa. And I commented on the whole Caitlin Clark record thing with Pete Maravich and all that. Thousands of people started hating on me. It was pretty funny because you're not allowed to have an opinion on Caitlin Clark. I love her. I've watched more women's basketball this year than I've ever watched in my life. So the criticism is stupid. But this morning, I see people sharing this graphic about Caitlin Clark and her salary to be in the WNBA. Her rookie contract she signed is for 4 years, and over those 4 years, it will pay her $76,000, $78,000, $85,000, and $97,000 per year for a total of $338,000 for 4 years. Victor Wembanyama, who was the number one draft pick in the NBA in 2023, got a four-year contract for $55 million, and people are hot. The president tweeted out, "That's not fair." Well, of course it's fair. And I commented on this person's post. The WNBA has never turned a profit. The NBA has to subsidize the league because historically nobody watches it on TV and fewer people watch it in person. And maybe that'll change with Caitlin Clark in the league and Angel Reese and these others. I hope it does. On the other side of that, Caitlin Clark's going to make millions of dollars in endorsements, and a lot of those other players won't. Is that fair? I mean, you can't take a public poll and go present it to your boss and say, this is what the public thinks you should pay me. They pay you based on profit and loss. Every company does that. You may not agree with it, but you don't have to work there. What am I missing?
No, I think you're right. I think that ultimately it comes down to who's watching. Are they making money? And sadly, it's just not the same for women's basketball as it is for men's. As a female, I can empathize saying I wish it were different. I wish more people watch women's sports, but I'll be the first to admit I've never watched the WNBA. I have no interest in, I don't even watch the NBA. But now that Caitlin Clark's playing, I might be a little interested in watching one of the Indiana games now that she's part of that team.
Making more money next year or the year after,
they'll pay the players more.
They'll start paying the players more.
Then you can put up a stink. If not to compare it to men, but if they start drastically increasing in viewership, right? They're taking in more money and the salaries are not going up at all. That absolutely makes sense to say, what's going on here?
Yeah, you have an option of not playing, but right now they're doing it because nobody's watching. And a couple of comedians have had a little bit of fun with this. One of them is one of my favorite, Dave Chappelle. I actually found a clip from him that we only had to edit it a little bit because he drops a lot of F-bombs in his comedy. But we only had to bleep one word out of this one, but it's the absolute truth. And he's talking about the fact that why is there a WNBA to begin with? And I think he speaks to that directly right here.
Say LeBron James changed his gender. You know what I mean? Okay, can he stay in the NBA? Or, because he's a woman, does he have to go to the WNBA where he will score 840 points a game? What does it actually mean to be equal? You know what I mean? like women are actually equal to men, then there would be no WNBA, would there? You would just be good enough to play in the NBA with us. Or, here's another idea that's going to be very controversial. You could shut the f*** up.
I mean, let's be real. LeBron would, oh my gosh, clean house if he played with the women. That's what he needs to do. Identify as a woman and go to the WNBA.
Maybe when his NBA career is over, I understand he wants to play long enough to be able to play alongside his son in the NBA. Bronny has declared for the draft. But when his playing days are over, he could still go play in the WNBA, but he wouldn't play for that salary. They'd have to pay him a lot more, right?
What was the soundbite we played earlier in the show today talking about? Oh my gosh, why am I completely blanking right now on where I was going with that sentence?
Was it the other comedian?
I think it was the other comedian. What was he saying?
Well, he was just saying the women shouldn't be mad at the men over this. They're the ones not watching.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Why don't you watch, if you're wanting support, watch them then.
Because look at the Kardashians. Women watch the Kardashians.
The Housewives.
And they're worth billions.
The Bachelor. Why is The Bachelor on season like 9 gajillion? And it's so stupid. I used to watch it. I don't anymore.
And his point was, if you're mad about this, about Caitlin Clark's salary next year, name for me your top five favorite WNBA teams. I'll bet you can't.
Caitlin Clark. There we go.
Indiana Fever. I know that one now. I know the name of one WNBA team.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.